morning, Texas. Here we are with our Sunday program, program number 37. We are going through the book of Ephesians, an absolute fantastic, splendid book to study, full of great, spectacular news. It is a key book that deals with Paul. If you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, word, that's Paul, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. We'll talk about that. That's Paul. That's the book of Ephesians. So we are halfway through chapter 2. We got as far as chapter 13. Let's just do a short little review to verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now that's still the situation today, but that doesn't have to be the situation for you individually. But as the Gentile nation, they still have nothing to do with the Jewish nation. Remember it says, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision. Two different modes there. There's two different nations still. Now we see in Ephesians chapter 2, starting with verse 13, this is where you can choose to be in on this or not. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Now what we're going to see here, and I think few people are really aware of this, they're so caught up with being saved, and that God will give them the mind of Christ, so everything they think, everything they do, everything they wear, everywhere they go, everything they listen to, is all blessed by God, and if they do the right thing, God will bless them that much even more. Very selfish, very conceited Christianity today in America. There is a reason for that. In Romans chapter 11, it says, for I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery. The mystery they're ignorant of is the mystery of the Jews and the Gentiles. They're separate. There's a different thing. But there's something that God has done to bring the Gentiles in and set the Jews aside for a while. God is not done with the Jews. Not at all. I say, then, hath God cast away his people? Romans 11:1. God forbid. But Paul says, God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew, but they're set aside for now. And when he says, brethren, I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits. Okay, what's that mystery that makes Gentiles so conceited? That blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. God has gone on to the Gentile nations, but it isn't because he's just also hunky-dory with the Gentiles. If you go back to Romans chapter 11, verse 11, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. So that's what's going on here. Now, God loves us. There's no doubt about it. God died. Christ died for us. There's no doubt about that. He shed his blood for us. No doubt about that. And now the Gentiles are part of that. But there was a time, obviously, Gentiles were not part of that. In fact, if we go to Romans chapter 2, now remember, all the laws, all the commandments and things were given to the Jews, not to the Gentiles. So what was up with the Gentiles, the heathen, during those Old Testament days? Romans chapter 2 says in verse 14, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the mean, while accusing or else excusing one another, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel, meaning Paul's gospel. So the Gentiles, the heathen, their conscience, they were given the conscience to know what was right and wrong. Okay? The Jews had the law. Okay? Now, Romans chapter 2, verse 5 talks about this conscience that the Gentiles had and their works. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasurest up thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. So there's a separation here. The Gentiles, the heathen, will be judged by their works and their conscience. They should know better. Again, Romans chapter 2, 14, 15, 16, right in there. You read that. And so when we go back to Romans chapter 11, and we see that this mystery that people are ignorant of today, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, this whole book, Bible, the whole King James Bible, is about the Jews and God. Those are his people. But there's a point in there where God's setting his people aside, going to the Gentiles himself through Paul, because the Jews weren't doing their job. So he sets the Jews aside, goes to the Gentiles, and when he's done with the Gentiles, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, that blindness in part won't be there anymore. And Romans 11:22 says, "Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity," that's the Jews during the Old Testament and the Gospel days, "and the tribulation, but toward thee, Gentile nation, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off." And he's talking about the singular, the Gentile nation. There will come a day when the Gentiles will be cut off, and the blindness for Israel will go away, and then we have the tribulation. But see, when he cuts off the Gentile nation, the church of God will be gone. We're saved from the wrath of God. We've got the Spirit of God in us, and so when the Spirit of God departs, we go with it. If we depart, the Spirit of God goes with us, whichever way you want to look at it. And from Revelation chapter 4 on, there is no mention of the church during the tribulation. The church meaning the body of Christ. My whole point of this introduction like this is for people to realize that there were differences between the Jews and the Gentiles. And I never thought of this until just a few years ago, that the Gentiles, the heathen, did not have to follow the Ten Commandments when Moses came down. They knew nothing about that stuff that was going on. They just hated God's people. They still hate God's people to this day. Now he says in Romans 11:28, "As concerning the gospel, they," Jews, "are enemies for your sake. But as touching the election," they're the ones that the Bible talks about election, not the Gentiles, "they are beloved for the Father's sake." They're still his people. In Romans chapter 9 again, Paul says, "What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction," which is what he's still doing to this day, "and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory." Now, the Gentiles get in on this when he says, "Even us, whom he hath called not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles, as he saith also in Osi, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God." Esaias also crieth concerning Israel, "Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth." And as Esaias said before, "Except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we had been as Sodoma, and been made like unto Gomorrah." You know, Sodom and Gomorrah. "What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness? Even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." So if you want to learn about the Jews, Romans chapter 9 and 11, you put it all together and you understand the Jews' situation to this day versus the Gentile nation to this day, and then looking to the church of God through Paul, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 down to 22 and beyond will suddenly make a lot more sense. It isn't because the King James Bible is antiquated and old-fashioned and got big words. It's because people just don't realize rightly dividing understanding the Jews and the Gentiles, understanding that this whole book is about the Jews and to the Jews and because of the Jews, except for Paul's books, which at first were given to the Jews and Gentiles. By the time he was done with his ministry, it was Gentiles only. And that's us today. And if you are saved truly by your faith in Christ, and you've received the faith of Christ, then you are called the Church of God. You are not a Gentile. You're not a Jew. People that think because in Romans chapter 4, talking about Abraham and us as spiritual Jews, that we should follow the Jewish law. That's not true in the slightest. It's just more deception and crazy teachings by the scholars who don't rightly divide. Profane and vain babblings, Paul calls it. So now, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 2, and let's look at the goodness of God when it deals with the Gentiles and the Jews, and if you are part of the Church of God, this chapter ought to be very exciting and very understandable to you. Back to chapter 2, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, that's the Gentiles, remember verse 11 and 12, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now we have to stop there again, because the blood of Christ in modern Bibles has been taken out. And it's interesting to me, because as I checked out a couple modern Bibles today that I knew years ago had taken the blood of Christ out of specific verses, well, some of them are back in. Some of them have notes at the bottom that say, in many different manuscripts, the blood of Christ is not there. They've got all these reasons and all these institutions and Bible colleges and theological seminaries that somehow seem to get people to believe them, that they are smarter than God, because God promised to preserve His Word, so those Bibles take out that promise of preservation. That King James Bible tells people to rightly divide the Word of truth, so you don't need a scholar. Well, the modern Bibles take out that verse, change it to something totally different. And then you find out that these Bibles have taken out the blood of Christ. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through His blood. You can't take out through His blood, because it's because of His blood we have that redemption. And here he says in chapter 2, verse 13, we are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Not near. Near can be who knows how far you're away. You're still near, but you're not as close can be. Nigh is right next to you. You're there. So why change the word nigh to near? What is the purpose of that? Well, by the way, the purpose is they have to change a certain percent of the King James Bible so they can have a copyright put on it. So they have to change some words just for the sake of changing, so they can say a certain percentage was changed, and then they can make their own Bible. That's money. The love of money is the root of all evil. Okay. But now, and I like that phrase, but now, because now we're talking Paul, the dispensation of grace. But now, in Christ Jesus, that's the risen Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made both one, Gentile, Jew, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. There was a wall between us and the Jews, between the Gentiles and the Jews. Gentiles are still not interested. They are without Christ. They're aliens still from the commonwealth of Israel. They're learning to hate Israel more and more each day. Strangers from the covenants of promise, they have no hope, and they're without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, if you have Him, ye who sometimes were far off, which we were, are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for He is our peace, because Christ has taken down that wall. Now we have to bunny trail the word peace just for a minute. I've done this before in this program, so we have to talk about these. Peace. He is our peace. Here we go. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Okay, peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So many people, so many TV programs, so many Westerns say, well, you better make your peace with God because you're dying or whatever. Well, that peace with God isn't confession. It's being justified by faith, not by confession. Romans 1:7, 2 Corinthians 1:2, Galatians chapter 1, verse 3, he says to all three of those, grace be to you and peace from God the Father. Yes, He is our peace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. And then here's one I'm not sure many people recognize in their reading, because remember, we quite often read way too quickly. Now, the God of peace be with you all. The God of peace? How do you have the God of peace with you? Paul says in Philippians 4:9, classic verse on Paul, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, that's Paul, do. He tells us to follow Paul. We learn by Paul's manner of life. I really can't wait to get into that. Paul's manner of life, of pleasing God. If we get into those things, it says, and the God of peace shall be with you. In order to have the God of peace, is our salvation works by imitating Paul? No. But if we study and learn to do the things that we've learned from Paul and received from Paul and seen in Paul doing, we do those things. Remember, one of the things that Paul does is he shows us the risen Savior, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He's the one that lays the foundation. So yes, if we learn this stuff through Paul, we will have the God of peace. So in other words, are you saying that because we didn't learn about Jesus through Paul, but through the apostles or some other person, some other book or whatever, then we don't have the God of peace? It's interesting that you would ask that. But what do you think? Make that a program someday, too. Is that Bible you have the word of truth? Because if it isn't the word of truth in Ephesians chapter 1, it isn't the gospel of your salvation. Does that mean I don't have a risen Christ as my Savior? Because I don't have a King James Bible? Or I didn't hear from a preacher with a King James? Is that what you're trying to tell me here? Well, I don't know. What do you think? Is the sword of the Spirit in Ephesians chapter 6? It says it's the word of God. Is your Bible the Word of God? How can that Bible be the Word of God and this other Bible be the Word of God and this Bible be the Word of God? And they all say things differently, and yet they all compare themselves to one Bible, the King James Bible. How can they all be the sword of the Spirit? And the spiritual circumcision that takes place is done by a sword, but it's done by an operation made without hand. It's a spiritual sword. Those are interesting questions, if you could follow along with those things. You want the God of peace? You better look to the risen Savior through Paul. Anyway, let's get back to Ephesians chapter 2. That's talking about He is our peace. Peace of God, peace from God, peace with God, because you've got the God of peace, because Paul has introduced you to the risen Savior, and He makes you nigh by His blood, by the blood of Christ, which most Bibles take out the blood of Christ. Then in verse 15 here, he says, having abolished in His flesh, remember Christ, sinless, there's a reason for that, the enmity, is an enemy with God, the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. How do you make peace with the Jews and the Gentiles? You make them into one. Is anybody out there trying to do that? No, they're trying to get rid of the Jews. Verse 16, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. So Christ reconciles. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. They toss that word reconciliation around our country quite a bit, but they're using it in the wrong way. Who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Set free? No, made free. We are made the righteousness of God. He imputes his righteousness to us. We've been reconciled to God. Ephesians chapter 2. And that he might reconcile, verse 16, and they might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you who were afar off, and to them that were nigh, Jews, Gentiles. Jews were nigh. Those were his people. Gentiles were afar off, without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now back to verse 18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, that's the Jews, were fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God. Verse 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So the foundation was laid by the apostles. And that makes sense. You go back to the beginning of the church, Jesus going out to the Jews, the apostles, there they were. And those apostles, as well as everybody else, had to believe that he was the Son of God. That was the first thing they had to learn. Obviously, not many learned that, because they certainly didn't pass it on down to their families, because the Jews today still don't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. And now they have to look towards what Paul's teaching to them, believing that, yes, he was the Son of God, but put your faith and trust in the risen Savior. Well, they're not going to understand that because they've been blinded. But the Gentiles, this is our chance to understand that stuff. This is our chance to be nigh unto Christ because of his blood. This is the Gentiles' chance to have that peace of God, peace with God, peace from God, by having the God of peace. Christ abolished in his flesh that enmity, the hatred, the distance, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. Christ took care of that. Romans chapter 10, verse 4. To make himself twain of one new man. He just wants one man, part of his body, body of Christ. Keep reading. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together. Now what's Paul called? He's called the wise master builder. Following Paul, you will be fitly framed together into an holy temple in the Lord. Isn't that what we've learned about Paul? Isn't that what we've learned for those that have been listening to the weekly programs? Isn't that what we've been learning in Ephesians chapter 4? From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. That's the church. That's the church, the body of Christ. That was Ephesians chapter 4, by the way, verse 16. So we're the household of God. Now we're fellow citizens with the saints. And yet the Jews still have no clue. But Romans 11 tells me it's not going to last much longer. Verse 21, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built, in whom ye also are, that's the Gentiles, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Habitation of God? Well, sure. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So us Gentiles seem to think that we can just party hardy by the grace of God and wherever we want, and wear what we want, go where we want, do what we want, talk like we want, work where we want, all these things. And really, Christ shed his blood, so the Jews and the Gentile, that wall is taken down, and we can all become one in Christ. Now, we still have a problem. We still have our flesh. Well, we've been cut away from our flesh, Colossians 2:16. And the judgment seat of Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, is going to have to judge our works. And when he's done judging our works, then we will be part of him, glorified with him. Got to get rid of these works that we've done, because in our flesh is still our sin. But we ourselves are cut away. You know, you start to do this enough times, you start to picture this whole thing, and it just plain makes sense. Well, anyway, that's Ephesians chapter 2. Next Sunday, we will look at Ephesians chapter 3. But I got to tell you that even during the weekly programs, you hear a lot of the same stuff, because this is what I want this whole program, the goodness of God, to be about. Fantastic stuff to learn about what God is doing today with us Gentiles, with the Church of God, and yet how the devil has been trying to imitate, wants to be like the Most High, taking the scriptures away, getting people confused, getting pastors and preachers and scholars to teach the wrong things, so everybody becomes part of the devil's army to fight Jesus when he comes back in Revelation 19, because the devil's going to come down in Revelation chapter 6 and put all these people that have been snookered over these years together and fight the real Savior. which side of the battle do you want to be on? I'd get a hold of a King James Bible. You write to me, I'll send you a King James Bible free. Nice ones, too, not just some quickie little things with tiny little words. Very nice King James Bibles. I just can't afford to do the shipping, I'm sorry to say, so if you'd be willing to pay for shipping, I'll send you, otherwise, a free Bible. And get into this thing, or rightly divide this thing, and see what's going on. You will be amazed beyond amazement. Well, we'll talk to you at the next program. Have a good week.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where He took me in. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. O precious fountain that faced from sin, I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Heir to my heart was the blood applied.